Blog Talk Radio.
And she came with the same type game, the type of girl giving out the fake cell phone, the name Big Fame. She like catching big things, jewel chip, money clip, phone flip the six range. And seen her on the ass, spotted her more than once. Ass so fat that you can see her from the front. She spot me like paparazzi, shot me a glance. And that cat woman stands with the fat booty pants, hot damn. What's your name, love? Where you came from? Neck and wrist lace up, very little makeup. The swims at the Reebok gym, tone your frame up. A sugar and spice, the only thing that you made up. I tried to play a low key but couldn't keep it down. Asked her to dance and she was like, yo, I'm leaving now. An hour later, down from Jamaica, she sipping Chris Sada, skanking while in the waist up. My fam throwing the jam, Fareed is on the stand, big things is in the plan. The brother Big Moon makes space for me to move in here. Yo, this my man Most, baby, let me introduce. I turn around, you was the same pretty bird who I had priorly observed, trying to play me for the herb. Shocked to tell she couldn't get it together. I just played along and pretended I never met her. How you feeling? No, I'm fine. My name is Most, I'm Sharice. I heard so much good about you, it's nice to finally meet. He moved to the booth, preserved the crew especially. And honey love ended up sitting directly next to me. I'm tight polite, but now I'm looking at her skeptically. Cause baby girl got all the right weaponry. Designer fabric, shoes and accessories. Cheeky eyes, sweet voice, you want me mentally. Be conversating, made her laugh, yeah, you know me, bro. Even though I know the CeeLo, she wild, sweet, yo. I'm about to murk, I say peace to the family. She hop up like, how you gonna leave before you dance with me? Dance with me.
She blew my whole head with that dude. I was like, what? I played it low, though. I was like, yeah, all right, come on, then, let's go. This is mad. So sick. I'm telling you, yo, honey was so blazing. She was, yo, she was like Jane Kennedy, word bomb. To my mama, man. She was that L, man. She take me to the dance floor and she start whispering to me. Yo, let me apologize for the other night. I know it wasn't right, but baby, you know what it's like. Some brothers don't be coming right. I understand, I'm feeling you. Besides, can I have a dance? Ain't really that original. We laughed about it, trace the arms across my shoulder blades. They playing lover's rock, I got to fold the fingers on the waist. He and my butt up like the Arizona summer. Song finishing, she whispered, honey, let's exchange numbers. We debating late night conversation in the crib, heart racing, trying to be cool and patient. She touched on my eyelids, the room fell silent. She walked away smiling, singing Gregory Isaacs like, if I don't, she want me at 10-9 and a tattoo, playing Sade, sweetest taboo, burning candles, all my other plans got canceled, man, I smash it like an Idaho potato, she call me at my jail, come now, I can't say no. Jensen tree trunks, rocking a pee from cocking her knees up. Champion lover, not ease up. 3 months, she call, I feel I'm running a fever. 6 months, I'm telling her I desperately need her. 9 months, blue-like symptoms of shorty not around. I need more than to knock it down, I'm really trying to lock it down. Midnight, we hook up and go at it. Burn a stove and let her know, sweetheart, I got to have it. She's telling me commitment is something she can't manage. Wake up the next morning, she gone like it was magic. Oh, damn it. This on Harrison, full frantic. My number one's an answer by my plot, Taurus Enchantress. Next week, who hit me up? I saw Sharice at the kitty club with some banging ass agent playing Lay It Down and Lick Me Up.
What?
Yo. Can you believe that, sister? I was like, what? Oh, man, I was so sick. I was so sick, though.
In the place with style and grace, allow me to lace these lyrical douches in your bushes. Who rock grooves and make moves with all the mommies? The back of the club, sipping my wet is where you find me. What? The back of the club, macking my crew's behind me. Mad question asking, passing, music lasting, but I just can't quit because one of these honeys Biggie got to creep with, sleep with, keep the ep a secret. Why not? Why blow up my spot? Cause we both got hot. Now check it, I got more Max and Craig and in the bed. Believe me, sweetie, I got enough to feed the needy. No need to be greedy. I got mad friends with Benz that see notes by the layers. True to life players. Jump in the Rover and come over. Tell your friends jump in the GS3. I got the by the tree.
I love it when you call me Big Pop.
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
I love it when you call me Big Pop.
Just the honeys get their money, playing fellas like dummies.
I love it when you call me Big Pop.
You got a c*** up in your waist, please don't shoot up the place.
Why?
Cause I see some ladies tonight that should be having my baby. Straight up, honey, really, I'm asking. Most of these fellas think they be macking, but they be acting. Who they attracting with that line? What's your name? What's your sign? Soon as he buy that wine, I just creep up from behind and ask you what your interests are. Who you be with? Things to make you smile. What numbers to dial? You gon' be here for a while. I'm gon' call my crew. You gon' call your crew. We can rendezvous at the bar around 2. Plans to leave. Throw the keys to little C's. Pull the truck up front and roll up the next one so we can steam on the way to the telly. Go fill my belly. A T-bone steak, cheese, eggs, and Welch's grape. Conversate for a few, cause in a few we gon' do what we came to do. Ain't that right, boo? Forget the telly, we just go to the crib and watch a movie in the jacuzzi. Smoke while you do me.
I love it when you call me Big Pop.
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
I love it when you call me Big Pop.
To the honeys getting money, playing fellas like dummies.
I love it when you call me Big Pop.
You got a c*** up in your waist, please don't shoot up the place.
Why?
Cause I see some ladies tonight that should be having my baby.
How you living, Biggie Smalls?
Imagining business, giving ends to my friends, and it feels stupendous. Tremendous cream, get a dollar and a dream. Still tote gas strapped with infrared beams.
What?
Chopping the holes, smoking line optimals. Money, and clothes, all a brother knows. A foolish pleasure, whatever. I had to find the buried treasure. So grams I had to measure. However, living better now, coochie sweater now. Drop top BMs, I'm the man, girlfriend.
Honey, check it. Tell your friends to get with my friends. We could be friends. We could do this every weekend.
That's right.
Alright?
Right.
Is that alright with you? Yeah. Keep banging.
I love it when you call me Big Pop.
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
I love it when you call me Big Pop.
To the homies getting money, playing fellas like dummies.
I love it when you call me.
You got the fuck up in your waist, please don't shoot up the place. Cause I see some ladies tonight that should be having my baby.
Check it out. Yeah. Puff Daddy, Biggie Smalls, Junior Mafia, represent baby.
Something for my guys, Sonny Liza, and a little girl named Corinne.
Some say the black of the best, the sweet of the juice. I say the dark of the flesh, and the deep of the roots. I give a holler to my sister's own welfare. Tupac can, if don't nobody else care. And I know they like to beat you down a lot. And when you come around the block, brothers clown a lot. So please, don't cry, dry your eyes, never let up. But don't forget, girl, keep your head up. And when he tells you you ain't nothing, don't believe him. And if you can't learn to love, you should leave him. Cause sister, you don't need it. And I ain't trying to catch up, I just call him how I see. You know what makes me unhappy? When brothers make mates and leave a young mother to be a pet. And since we all came from a woman, got our name from a woman, and I came from a woman. I wonder why we take from our women, why we rape our women. And if we don't, we'll have a race of babies that will hate the lady that make the baby. And since a man can't make one, he has no right to tell a woman when and where to create one. So will the real men get up? I know you're fed up, lady, but keep your head up. I remember Marvin Gaye used to sing to me. He had me feel
feeling like black was the thing to be. And suddenly the kettle, it seemed so tough. And though we had it rough, we always had enough. I hopped above about my curfew and broke the rules. Went with the local crew and had a smoke or two. I realized mama really paid the price. She nearly gave her life to raise me right. And all I had to give her was my pipe dream. And how about the mic and make it to the right screen. I'm trying to make a dollar out of this thing. It's hard to be the shit and still pay your rent. And in the end it seems I'm heading for the pen. I try to find my friends, but they're blowing in the wind. Last night my buddy lost his whole family. It's gonna take the man in me to conquer this insanity. It seems the rain will never let up. I blame my mother for turning my brother into a crack baby. We ain't meant to survive cause it's a setup. And even though you're better, you got to know. By your lonesome, thanks the Lord for my kids, even if nobody else wants them. Cause I think we can make it, in fact, I'm sure. And if you fall, stand tall or come back for more. Cause ain't nothing worse than when your son wants to know why his daddy don't love him no more. You can't complain, you were selfless. Hell of a hand without a man feeling helpless. Because there's too many things for you to deal with. Dying inside, but outside you're looking big. While the tears is rolling down your cheek. Daddy hoping things don't all fall this week. Cause if it did, you couldn't take it. And don't blame me, I was given this world, I didn't make it. And now my son's getting older and older and cold from having the world on his shoulders. While the rich kids are driving this, I'm still trying to hold on to surviving friends. And it's crazy, it seems they'll never let up. But please, you gotta keep your head up.
My life I had to fight, nigga. All my life I hard times like yeah, bad trips like yeah. Nazareth, I'm fucked up, homie. You fucked up, but if God got us, then we gon' be alright, right?
Nigga, we gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. We gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright, nigga. We gon' be alright.
And when I wake up, I recognize you looking at me for the pay cut. Bahamas, I be looking at you from the face down. One Mac 11, even boom with the face down. Skimming, and let me tell you about my life. Painkillers only put me in the twilight. With pretty pussy and Benjamin, it's the highlight. Now tell my mama I love her, but this what I like. Lord knows, 20 of them in my Chevy. Tell them all to come and get me, reaping everything I sow. So my karma come in heaven, no preliminary hearings on my record. I'm a motherfucking gangster, and silence for the record. Tell the world I know it's too late. Boys and girls, I think I've gone crazy. Trying to side my vices all day. Won't you please believe when I say, when you know we've been hurt, been down before. Nigga, when our pride was low, looking at the world like where do we go. Nigga, and we hate po-po, when the killer's dead in the street for sure. Nigga, I'm at the preacher's door. My knees getting weak and my gun might blow. But we gon' be alright, alright.
Nigga, we gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. We gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. Huh? We gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright.
What you want? You a house, you a car, 40 acres and a mule, a piano, a guitar, anything. See, my name is Lucy. I'm your dog. Motherfucker, you can live at the mall. I can see the evil, I can tell it. I know it's illegal, I don't think about it. I deposit every other zero, thinking of my partner. Put the candy, painting on a Rico, digging in my pocket. In a profit, big enough to feed you. Every day my logic, get another dollar just to keep you in the presence of your Chico. I don't talk about it, be about it. Every day I sequel. If I got it, then you know you got it. Heaven, I can reach you. Pet dog, pet dog, pet dog, my dog, that's all. Pick back and chat, I shut the back for y'all. I rap, I black on tracks, so rest assured. My rights, my wrongs, I write till I'm right with God.
When you know, we been hurt, been down before. Nigga, when our pride was low, looking at the world like, where do we go? Nigga, and we hate po-po, when the killer's dead in the street for sure. Nigga, I'm at the preacher's door, my knees getting weak and my gun might blow, but we gon' be alright.
Nigga, we gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. We gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. Huh? We gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright.
In my prayers,
I remember you was conflicted, misusing your influence. Sometimes I did the same, abusing my power full of resentment. Resentment that turned into a deep depression. Found myself screaming in the hotel room. I didn't want to self-destruct. The evils of Lucy was all around me, so I went running for answers.
Tell the world that I love you.
sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good evening, ladies and gents, poets and poetesses. Tonight, we are in the Juke Joint of the Real Entertainment Network. Tonight is an open mic night type of vibe. So, you know, we just want to hear what you guys have on your mind. We're going to play a few tunes. By the way, I'm your host, Mahogany Soul, a.k.a. Edwina, a.k.a. Zwina, if you knew me for a while. And tonight, you guys are in for a treat. I am joined by the guy that keeps this whole engine running on a regular basis. You guys might know him as Poetic, or he has a couple of different monikers that I will not name because I do not know how closely he wants to be associated with them anymore. But the great Van Meadows, a.k.a. Poetic, is in the building joining me tonight. Poe, how are you doing, sir?
I am doing phenomenal. It is so good to be in the Juke Joint tonight. I'm honored. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem. It is an honor to have you. You know what? I'm just like, when you said, you know, you had some time, I'm like, come on through. Because, I feel like tonight is the type of night we're just going to have a nice little flow, a little conversation, see where it goes. But my focus is right now is focused, because in the back of my mind, I'm thinking about how much you go through to try to keep all of these wild poetic minds that, you know, run the different shows here at Epiphany Radio, and you try to keep them in line. And, you know, it's also playing a role in other parts of my life. So I think as a poet, I would love to hear people's perspective on how do you keep your poetic center. How about that? Isn't that a conversation that might be interesting?
That is a conversation. Absolutely. Very interesting conversation. How do I keep my poetic perspective? Man, to be honest, I look at everything in life like poetry, right? The highs, the lows, the ebbs, the flows, the ups, the downs, happy, sad. It's all poetry. It's just a matter of sitting down, taking a moment to put the words together. And sometimes, you know, if me, I'm a stickler for cadence and rhyme, right? Very rarely will you see me write a piece that doesn't rhyme, but I have. But it's all up to the individual poet. Like, whatever you feel in that moment, you know, just ink it out, you know, just ink it out. So, you know, even if it sounds crazy, because it might sound crazy to you, but to someone else, it might be exactly what they need to hear. So, yeah.
That's true. I totally dig that. And that's good to keep in perspective, because I've been thinking, as we talked about earlier, about like day jobs and stuff like that. Because I'm going to be honest, I've been in a place in my life where it's like so many things are changing that it's like I've come up with this notion that like if your worst possible nightmares are possible, then that means wildest dreams are also possible, right? You know?
Absolutely. So, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's where I've been. That's where I've been. Like, I'm taking all of these different chances to do all those things that were like my wildest dreams, and it's been an amazing ride. On one hand, but then on the other hand, it's like it's so many other things. I might actually read a poem that I wrote about that. But like there's so many different things that's going on that I've just kind of been like, I'm not even thinking about that. I just want a poet. You know what I mean?
Right, right. And you have those moments like, you know, you just do nothing but just want to write. Right. You don't even want to operate in the world. You want to operate in that place outside of the world and just write. And when you have those moments, those are some of the most beautifulest moments, because your level of creativity is at its highest.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah. Oof. Absolutely. So that's why I've been, but you know, gravity and all of the gravity that it holds is that, you know, reality, We have to get back to reality sometimes. So the understanding and you know, people, the perspective of other poets on how you keep that balance and keep that forward, that focus while still, and, you know, that passion to, like, because I'll be quite honest, there are times when I am writing and it's like something is going on and then a thought will come to me and I'll just start writing that thought and I'll just start crying.
Right.
And by the time I'm finished crying, it's a poem on my page. It's like,
and there's nothing wrong with that.
Right. It's just raw emotion. And then if I listen to it, it's like embracing through that emotion. But to share it with people and to have it shared with me, when people read things like that to me, it's like I can feel you in a way that regular socially accepted word doesn't necessarily convey. And I love that for us. You know what I mean? I love that about I love that about the community. I love that about the art form. And I love that about this time in my life. But yeah, I need someone to take me by my big toe and pull me back down to the ground and tell me how we do this. How do we float and remain grounded at the same time? That's a good question. How do we do that? Because I have no understanding.
Ooh.
I'm like, I'd rather just do this. If I could just do this, but no, I'm not there yet. I have to wait until people want to pay me to just do this.
Right, right. And I think that's where that's where you realize that your mind is this wonderful place that it can have you floating and grounded at the same time. And those two levels are parallel. But baby, when they become perpendicular and they intersect, oh my God.
Ooh. Absolutely. You find that balance,
level.
I imagine. So I was speaking with a poet, Ed Mayberry. Mabry, I believe it's how you pronounce it.
Mabry, yep.
Great poet, dope poet, Emmy Award winning. But, you know, I didn't want to take up a lot of his time, but I was like, you know, how do you do that? That's been my question for a lot of people, because in this space that I've been in, it's like what I tell people is like, I'm a student of the universe right now. Everything is a lesson.
Yeah.
Everything is understanding. This is that. This is the master class in me, you know what I mean? Me and how I associate with the world for real, with the mask off, with not trying to be a bunch of other stuff, just me, vulnerable and So it's like, and I'm sharing that as honestly as I can and getting what is shared with me as a deeper understanding. So it's like, you know, when I asked him that question, like, how do you do it? Like, I would love to be in a space where, like, this is what I do and this is what I get known for, but sometimes it feels like the draw of reality kind of feels like it's pulling you away from that. And he was like, you know, the problem with that is if you do it before you're ready, then your poetry becomes work. And you never want it to be work. You, even if you it becomes a career and it becomes your passion, you want to love it as a passion. But if you put all of that weight on it, when you can separate yourself from saying, all right, this is what I do to make ends meet in it, this is what I do to drive myself further. But, yeah, living in those two worlds and respecting the time it requires. So I've been receiving that information. Go ahead.
You said something that was key. You said passion, right? You should be doing what you're passionate about. A lot of us get stuck into just doing something because we have to and never really operating in that place of our passion, which is, you know, poetry. Poetry, if it's your passion, then every waking day, every moment you should be creating. You should be, you know, writing something. And even if you get into a place where you feel like you can't write, you should still write, whether it makes sense or not. Just jot words down on a paper. You know, it could be the, this, thou, right? But just write, because you have to remember your passion and why you do your passion.
Absolutely. I totally feel that. It's like, you know, I'm ready to dive into the mind. of some of the great and beautiful poets that I see joining us in the queue. If you're listening in online, again, this is Epiphany Radio, and you're joining us in the Juke Joint with Mahogany Soul and my beautiful co-host, Van Meadows, a.k.a. Poetic. And tonight, we're just vibing and talking. The mic is open once you join us. And we just want to hear from you as a person and as a poet. How do you keep your poetic perspective? How do you balance real life with your passion? So that's the conversation that we're having if you're just joining us. And if you're listening online, the dial-in number is 319-527-6300. Get on it here and join us. We know you got a little poet in you. Hit that one in order to have a conversation. All right. Okay, Van. Oh, this is getting good. But I think we need to add a little bit of...
I love it.
We're going to make a little stone soup, and we take a little bit of what you feeling and what I'm feeling and a little sprinkle of everyone else in our beautiful community and how they're feeling. And by the end, I think we're going to have something good to chew on.
I agree.
How about, as my beautiful guest, I would love for you to start us off with a piece of your poetry to let them see how a man who balances being an amazing father, an amazing poet, and also a businessman and an employee with a company. Like, you know, you wear all of these hats and you still produce some amazing poetry. So show them how it's done. Show them how you do it in your work when you're ready. The mic is yours.
All right. Thank you so much. This piece is called Day. Before the night gives way to today, may I say that I'm excited to wake up each day with an opportunity to fall in love with you again and again someday. An eternity will befall upon me where all I've imagined and can see will make my heart smile. Smile so big that the effects of this love will last for a while. The dew gives way to the rising sun. My enlightenment has begun. The earth gives its approval in the form of a soft shake. A subtle earthquake. It's like a nod of approval, reminding me every day that your essence is my favorite novel. And hidden in your sexy text is a scripture that wraps around my heart as I anxiously await what is next. The birds hum and sing our love song, and in this moment of mental pleasure, nothing could go wrong. So in my head, I purposefully drank from her lips. The elixir of life as her fingers demonstrated her immortality in each intellectual sip. The garden from which her love invited me in removed any rose thorns and created this pathway of an oasis where heartbreak now mourns. All while she and her scent brightens my day. The level of illumination within her presence gave way to some of the most magical moisture that would slowly drip from her rose petal for my quenched lips to endure. Today, I wanted her love to be my two parts hydrogen to my one part oxygen, so I can enjoy the natural basis of sustaining life that her love provides. Yesterday, I couldn't wait to get to today and the level of joy inside. Reminds me why every day I get to cherish her love on this day. And that's that piece.
I could not get to the unmute button fast enough. Oh, my gosh. That was...
Thank you.
I'm like, okay, there was a line when you said, as the day gives way. Can you give me that line one more time?
Man, which one? As the dew gives way to the rising sun, that line?
Yeah, that one.
Okay. And as the dew gives way to the rising sun, my enlightenment has begun. The earth gives its approval in the form of a soft shake, a subtle earthquake.
What? I was like, in that part, I was on the floor, and then I'm like, and you said her fingers demonstrated her immortality, and I'm like, I don't imagine that it's an actual immortality, but poetically that it's a love that would feel immortal demonstrated from her fingers.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I could imagine today that part of, like, finding a love that, like, you remember, we were having this conversation before, and I'm like, you know, envision the things about the person, not the physical, not any of those things, but the emotion that person would invoke from you. You know what I mean? And, like, then bringing that and finding that, then you can love it so much more, because that is what it's meant, I think, if you interpret biblical text by, you know, from your rib, from the place next to your heart, you created the image of the love that you were before you found it. No.
Okay. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
I'm sorry. I like language with curse words, and I try not to do it in public, but geez, that was good stuff. That was good stuff. I am so awful at love poems, because I think that I'm in a space of being jaded, but to hear someone that has found the love that they've been looking for is an amazing, amazing thing, and it shows what is possible if you ask. So how has it been feeling to actually have that embodiment of that love that you've been looking for?
It's great. It's one of the greatest feelings. You know, because it's one thing to think that you have been in love before, right? But it's another thing for someone to have a genuine love and the genuineness of being in love with you. It's a feeling unlike any other. It's definitely a wonderful, wonderful thing. So everybody should fall in love again.
Absolutely. And again, if you guys don't know, Mr. Meadows has found the Mrs. Meadows of his dream, and they are newly married. So I want to give you guys another congratulations. I'm so happy that
you
are happy.
Thank you so much for that.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
Absolutely. Oh, man.
Don't let me have all the fun. Ladies and gentlemen, she's like real modest right now, but I don't know if you've ever heard Mahogany's whole spit, but man, I would love to hear you deliver a piece live right now, because I've just been waiting.
Okay. Oh, man. I was going to hit a little music first, but, you know, keep that love flow going. But you know what? Come on, you can challenge me to a duel. No, I'll go ahead and do something with me. I'm going to do that piece that I was talking about, you know, because it's in line with, like, the conversation that we're having about, you know, finding that balance.
Yeah,
and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Okay. It's called Feel Me, and I always open this little, you know, a disclaimer. I cannot sing, but I cannot imagine this poem without Erykah Badu in the background. It is based on her song, Window Seat. It's called Feel Me. All right, hold on. I need you to want me. I need you to miss me. I need your attention. Tension and anxiety wraps around my neck like a too tight scarf with a noose-like effect. Breath buried beneath the off-kilter tilter of my autonomic nervous system. Slow your inhale. Release out, unclenched teeth and shoulders from ears, recolor your knuckles in an effort to reorganize, to recognize my being, redirect my fear. You must be brave. sirens and the strum of race and blood fill my ears. So I guess the anxiety band is all here. See, they play instruments unique to each reason I should fold. To go back home, pretend that it don't feel like the fate that met Lot's wife, pretend that I belong. So that the oddity of sitting alone, indulging in art, don't feel so wrong. That the hope of a place to open up my soul's throat ain't a damn dope-ass coping mechanism. That the courage to admit that I need to be felt completely don't earn me the right to try to get you to feel me. See, the universe seems to record a sort of accountancy, checks and balances, credits and debits. It still escapes me at on what page I reconcile this change at my big age, this drive to page, this drive to places where I can just feel my soul blossom with the honeysuckle sweet that life never seemed to afford me. Or should I say, I never afforded me. Ignoring that niggling need, I wish I had a better metaphor for all the time bloated, obligatory body bearing some title I let turn albatross around my neck, because two tight suits that don't fit often find a way to tatter and rip at strange seams, no matter how poignantly we point, strung together talking points and platitudes. It's the fallout we pretend we ain't used to, but I need someone to clap for me, and I need your direction. The protection and comfort of soft words often seems an absurd place to perch my burden. Though it lightens the load, it also strains the ropes folks tow. It must feel like fool's errand, loving a woman so stubbornly set on loving something and simultaneously running from it, consequently abusing another plucked up angel feather to give me just enough of a hit to keep me going. Mama, some days I just want to call it quits, but the pain seems to fade when they allow me to fit, but I don't think that I fit in like this, so please. I need someone to come get me. I need you next to me, yes I do. It's irresponsible for me to expect you to convince me to believe in me, but when the snaps died down, the ground had me in a chokehold, feeling altogether sentient and earthbound, the existence of every noun that don't feel like soul work or soliloquy don't appeal to me. In reality, seems like lovely things to leave for later. This can't be safe or a sustainable way for grown folks to behave, and as art and life often imitate, at each state, I feel the thrill and little depth of things holding on to me that give their roots reflushing with the nourishment of a stronghold of love that makes my soul glow. I feel a tenderness in my being, feels like gilded light shining, baby. I feel my edges growing with the soul knowing finally what it feels like to welcome herself home. At least that's what it feels like. But the fact remains, I feel real different with a mic in my hand, surrounded by dope poets who feel the same and vibing on the manner of nourishing my soul as I should. Hey, voices in my head, stop trying to make it seem like outrunning something into someplace good ain't a damn good thing. Now, if you please, I need someone to clap for me, and I need your attention, and that's that piece.
Yo, this is a dope piece, right? And I love the way that you do the chorus of the piece, because in one instance you slowed it down really slow. Like, I need your attention. Like, pay attention right now. This is the moment where you need to pay attention. Oh, man. I mean, so this was beautiful.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it. All right, I'm going to throw a quick song in the air. And then we're going to open up the mic for the poets that would like to join us. I do want to put out a quick reminder that that call-in number, if you'd like to join us, is 319-527-6300. And make sure you press that 1 to be heard. If you're listening online, how about you share that Facebook link that led us here so that we can get some other people who are enjoying a nice, cool Friday night to join us as well. So, all right, Mr. Poetic, I'm going to throw a song in the air. We'll be right back.
I can love you better, lose myself in love. I used to do it for the love a long time ago, and all I ever wanted was love. I used to love without fear a long time ago, and all I ever wanted was love. Then somebody came around and tried to hurt me, tried to make me feel like I was unworthy. Took a pure love and tried to make it dirty. True to words, they never did deserve me, no. I had to lose myself so I can love you better. Had to lose myself, had to lose myself so I can love you better. Lose myself in love, and that's just the way it is. Couldn't tell me I was in love when I needed it, when all I ever wanted was love. Should've told me I was worth receiving it, but all I ever wanted was love. There's something awkward about the selflessness it takes to give love and the good that it made you. True love can never really forsake you, but it took a little while just for me to see. I had to lose myself so I can love you better. Had to lose myself, had to lose myself so I can make it better. The way it is, I had a paralyzing fear of facing failure, and I couldn't love you perfectly without fear in my head. So perilously I had to face the danger, so I could come back and love you all instead. All of your flaws are said, so I can make it better. I had to lose myself, had to lose myself, so I can love you better. I never meant to hurt you. Couldn't say, but I never meant to deserve you. Whole lot of things I just had to work through. Time to heal and restore myself worth doing. Compensation of my fears and anxiety. Quite a whole lot of years I suffered quietly. And though it may have taken years, I can finally tell you that you were always on my mind.
I'm not afraid to
There is nothing like a little Marsha Ambrosia to set a mood, I tell you. Ain't that right, man?
Yeah, she's...
You like Marsha?
You know, I love her. I love her. I'm a huge Floor Tree fan.
Mm-hmm.
When I say huge, I mean huge. So when it broke off, Marsha just... Oh, she just do her thing.
Yeah, she... Oh, yeah. She went crazy. That, but, like, Floor Tree was, like, my first notion. Floor Tree's era, let's put it that way, because there were a lot of people at that time who were adding poets and little poetic intermissions on their CDs and albums and stuff, right? Like during that Neo Soul era.
Yeah.
But it gave me hope. Like I wasn't able to explore my poetic side. I was busy setting fires to other
Absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely.
So it's like,
But
it was like the beauty of the era where poetry was loved in that way. And it was an opportunity for poets to be successful. That was a beautiful thing for me. That's what I loved about them, especially.
Absolutely. Yeah, me too.
Flo Assist, the first one, Flo Assist. I miss her. I miss her poetry. I miss it so much.
I miss her poetry, too.
We are going to get to caller and see what we have going on. It looks like in the queue we have joining us of Tiffany's own, the beautiful, the Perla Negra, a.k.a. Danielle. Welcome to the Juice Joint, Danielle. How are you doing tonight, Diva?
I'm a new soul. Lord have mercy, is poetic. Oh, my Lord, ain't heard you in so long on a show. My goodness. How y'all doing?
Lies, fairy tales, and propaganda. You heard me last week. Try again.
You said lies, fairy tales, and propaganda.
Propaganda, right? Damn.
We haven't none of it.
It's all good. It's all good. It's always good to hear your voice on the radio. It's all right. It's all right. Amazing poetry, you two. Oh, my goodness.
Thank you.
Dan will make you fall in love with the love poem again. I think I've been going around to different places and live events, and it's like you hear a lot of like hair-raising revolutionary poetry. You hear a lot of, you know, passionate, she broke my heart, and, you know, I find myself in some erotic poetry spaces, but like love poems where you could just appreciate love for the sake of love as opposed to any type of sexual nature is becoming a lost art form in a lot of places. You don't hear too much. A healthy love. I love that. Love poem that can address that and give it the right respect that it needs.
I know that's right. Well,
you
told him for a long, long time love was going to get him. I told him that. And he was like, nah, da 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 da. I'm like, all right, watch. Wait a minute. I'm cleaning it up. But you have always written beautiful love poetry. You know, it's just that you're shining now because you actually have it in your life now. Okay.
Right.
So don't come for my neck, okay?
Hey, let me ask you this question. You said you told me that love was going to get me, right? That's what you said, right?
Yep. Yes.
What if, just by some off chance, that I got love and love didn't get me, but I got love? And if you don't write that piece, it's shame on you. If you don't write that piece, shame on you.
Oh, Lord. All right. Peace out.
But you know what? Right. I think there is. You can't. It's certain things like you really can't rush it. And I think that's why every time we end up with so many of those whole, I had to kiss a few frogs before I found the prince or princess type thing, because it's like we rush to certain needs and desires and ideals.
and we look for those in people when we haven't even cleaned up our idea of what would really make us genuinely happy. Because there's so much about us that we acting like we're not even going to address, that we don't realize that we want someone to accept that. So it's like when you can come to a person, and then you can see someone like LaPerla Negra said, who has been writing this, and then it seems like it's almost like it gives you that belief that I believe, especially, like I've always believed that words are more than just words, you know what I mean? Words are part of manifestation, and if you see someone manifesting the love that they've always written about, it's like, hey, that's gorgeous, and raise the hairs on the back of your neck, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've been writing my love pieces too over time. But I don't know. I've been kissing some. You know what? I ain't even kissed a lot of frogs lately. I just kissed a couple of them, and it ain't happened, Captain. You know, it's just something coming, but it's just, you know, I'm being patient. You know, I got other things going on, and when it's time, I'll notice it.
That's true. That's true. I mean, look at Van. He had his hands. You know, I was like, I'm trying to figure out how he managed what he had on his plate, much less the time to, you know, pursue a personal life. But so it's like, if you can manifest that between that, then, you know, got you and you got it, and it all worked out in a beautiful way. So I don't know if you need to outrun it or run into it or live the most beautiful life and then let the person who want to live that beautiful life with you gravitate towards you and the rest of the little frogs fall by the wayside, I guess.
I don't know. Yeah. I give up. I'm not chasing. I'm not fussing. I used to kind of get down about it because it gets a little bit lonely, you know, staying away from the fools. Right. That's what I call them, fools, because they be, child, please. But you know what? When it's time, you'll know it. And that's all that's to it. That's all that's to it. It used to be for a long time, man. And I mean for years and years and years, I had been like, you know what? I'm tired of feeling the way that I feel. You know, and being open to it, and I'm just getting clowned coming in. This ain't no big top tent, you know what I mean? It's not a circus. But I just started focusing on what I'm doing, and I got pretty much a lot of stuff going on. I got my little spider monkey laying right here next to me because his daddy didn't want to. His daddy, I guess he wanted to break the night, so it's cool. I won't have my bed. I won't have room to roll around. But, you know, I have other things going on, and I'm good with it. I don't sit back and focus on it anymore, because when you focus on it, it gets depressing. You're like, don't nobody like me, you know?
Yeah, and then that become exactly what you end up coming around you, somebody that make you feel like, you know, make you feel like you felt when you found them. Yeah.
Absolutely. I gotta make a correction. It wasn't the love that Mr. Meadows was pushing away. It was the marriage thing. He said, "Nope, nah, I ain't doing it no more."
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah,
I did.
I won't deny that.
You can't.
Right.
I heard it from you too many times. You cannot. Nope. It's all good, though, and it's a beautiful thing. I tell you all the time, happiness looks good on you. It really does.
I'm glad you finally got what you need,
you know, and what you deserve. You deserve it, and that's what's up. Okay?
That is absolutely true. Somebody to deepen our smile is what we all want, whether it is ourselves or our little ones or a spouse. We just want that smile line to get a little deeper for a real good reason, I think. That's how I'm feeling about it. I want to smile more for good reason.
Share in it with somebody. I got a reaction. I ain't going to tell you what the reaction is, but I'm gonna leave it alone. It's a personal inbox.
Okay. Am I trying to offer you a married proposal? You getting the proposals on the show?
Please, they come back to back, but I know them things ain't real because I don't even know them fools. Okay, I think I wrote a piece on that. I don't know them man. They just want to say something to be saying something.
Mm.
It is what it is. I'm learning how to weed out. I don't know what that's saying. It's something about weeding out something. I'm learning how to do that. Okay. And stop letting it get to me. I just leave it as it is.
That's true.
That's good, though, honestly. Just got to get outside more. Become somewhat of a recluse. But I'm comfortable behind these four walls. It's just, you know, every so often I got to get out. And them young boys got to leave me alone. I'm not doing it. They got to leave me alone. I am not a cougar. I promise you. I might dress like a Power Ranger from town to town, but I am not a cougar.
My God.
I promise y'all, I'm not. They, it's crazy out here. I feel like an endangered species being discovered. Mm-hmm. Like, no, baby, please. I got kids your age. I can't.
Oh, gosh. they heard about the key to a cougar, but we going to save that for another show. They know what's going on over there, you know. They say the cougar thing, but they know they know where, you know. We're going to leave that right where it is, ..
Absolutely.
Well, I'm looking at the time, and it is now 10:02. I want to do a quick little identifier for the station, but and I also want to remind anybody that's listening in, dialing number 319-527-6300. The mic is open. It's an open mic night. And the question for tonight, which we never really got around to asking you, the conversation has been going so great, but we are going to get back to that in just a second. That question is, how do you keep your poetic perspective through balancing your real life in your poetic life? So we're going to do a quick station identifying the Pearl Negra. We're going to come back with your perspective on that, okay? Give me 1 second.
Okay.
I only want to see you last day. say you want a leader, but you can't seem to make up your mind. I think you better come to me. Let me guide you to the purple rain.
That's right. I hope you guys will have your socks off, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Juke Joint with Mahogany Soul and Epiphany Radio Network presentation. Tonight's show is brought to you by Raw Links. Why be average when you can most definitely be raw? Tonight, I am joined by my beautiful co-host. Then I have to stop calling beautiful. I feel like people think that's associated with women. My handsome co-host, Van Meadows, and my co-host on demand, La Perla Negra, because she has agreed to endure us for the night. It looks like, you know. I realize it's a Friday night, and if I had my druthers, I'd be out somewhere doing something fun that I won't necessarily remember tomorrow, but I might be going through a midlife crisis. How about you?
I don't know, but I was going to say, you know, in French, beautiful is masculine and feminine. Beau is masculine, V-E-A-U, and Belle, B-E-L-L-E, is feminine. So Beau. Men are beautiful as well. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
That's true. Okay. I just wanted to make sure, you know, now we live in the age of offenses, this, that, and the other. So we have to, you know, tread lightly. I don't want anybody to think that I'm trying to say anything other than the fact that you are nice on the eyes, and we know that, and that is, you know, that is well known.
I wouldn't say all that. I'll let y'all say that. I try not to look at myself like that because I don't want to handle a big head. I don't know if y'all remember that episode of Martin where he got into a fight with Tommy Hitman Hearns, and the next day he came out and his head was like super swole. Yeah, I don't know.
You're gonna make me wake up the baby laughing. Oh, it's all right. It's all right. Everybody knows you're a good-looking man. It's all right to love yourself. Get love on yourself, man. Yeah. It's all right. We all know you're a good-looking girl. Okay.
Yeah.
It ain't no secret, dude.
Yeah, it ain't got anything.
All
like
right,
I know.
The Pearl and Negra, I think you proposed a question before we went to the music break. So let's focus back. So.
Okay. All right, back to the question. Why men can't take compliments? I said beautiful. We didn't say handsome.
I appreciate you.
All right.
I just don't talk about myself. I don't talk about myself a lot.
I know.
So,
we're going to put you out of the spotlight. And we're going to turn it on. On the front of Negra, so that Van Meadows doesn't leave me to my poetic. Please stay with me. I didn't mean.
It's all good. What's the question again?
How do you keep your poetic perspective? You know, balancing your real, you know, things that go on in your real life, good, bad, and otherwise, with your life where you just enjoy and are driven to the passion, because I feel like all of us are, especially all of us here that I know are very passionate poets, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you keep that passion aflame when life be life?
You know what? Naturally, I'm a very passionate person. I play around a lot. I joke a lot, but I'm extremely passionate. That's why I'm so sensitive. I just, you know what, it's just a part, it's just such a natural part of me. It's like it's second nature. I have to learn to pull back sometimes. Well, I had to learn to pull back sometimes when I go to defend something, because most of my piece, all, you know, the majority of my pieces would be about love and passion if I didn't keep that at bay a little bit. So it's just, you know, it's a natural part of me, and it's always been there. And I think, you know what it is also, I was almost forced to keep it pushed down and hidden because of the type of people that I dealt with in my life, all throughout my life, they never understood that. But it's just the way I'm designed. But now that I have my freedom and I know who I am, I try not to throw it out there on people too much. Some people take it as me being flirtatious, and that's not what it's always about. I'm a flirt, but not like that. It's just a natural part of me that it just seeps from my pores, and I try not to, you know, just be too overbearing with it or overwhelming with it. You know, it just it's never left me.
But I feel like, you know, you can't really control how people receive it. I feel like I'm feeling like that lately. Like people lately, I used to enjoy being like really invisible, but lately it seemed like people giving me all of this attention and compliments. So I understand how fans feel. That's why I'm sorry, because sometimes it can make you a little comfortable when people constantly giving you compliments and stuff like that, especially if you don't feel like that's the space that you want, the headspace you want to be in. So it's like, trying to understand it. And now for me, it's like understanding who, because I don't feel like because of man or woman, you should have to limit your interaction with somebody just so they don't think that you're flirting with them. But I'm starting to feel like that sometimes. Like men kind of think that you're coming on to or you're flirting with them when you give too much. But I feel like poetically, I wonder why do you feel like you need to hold that?
You know why?
Yeah,
because go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
You know what? It's just I don't want people to look at me and say that that's all that I'm about. Every last one of my pieces, like I said, could be something very passionate. And I don't want people to always see me as just that. I'm funny. I can be somewhat of a brat. It's so much more to me.
Really? Sorry.
He is trying to take me there tonight. I am being nice. I'm being nice. I ain't said but two words. I'm trying to be nice. But, you know, yes, because I know who I am, Mr. Meadows, okay? I don't deny who I am. But, you know, it's just I want people to see that there is more to me than just that side. Because it gets attached to you. It's almost tenacious, you know, and people look at you that way afterwards. It's like with the erotic poetry. I was excited about starting it, you know, while putting it out there. I've always written about eroticism, but I had people coming at me a certain way, and I wasn't liking that shit at all. I wasn't feeling it. I'm like, come on, y'all. Look now.
Right.
It's not like that. I don't actually live that way. I mean, it's in me for the right person, but I don't live my life like. And people, it's a stigma that gets attached to. You know, I don't want that. You know, so I have a balance between everything that I do, all my poetry that I do, and just my life basically, pretty much. You know, and I'm good with that.
I understand that. I feel like lately, it's like if I have an idea and I want to write about it, certain things I feel like I might not want to. I do understand feeling like you don't necessarily want to share it with everybody because I feel like, I feel like too many people are starting to feel like it's an open invitation that if you write really erotic poetry that's like somehow open invitation to just get very informal with you, like they know you like I understand the need to like maybe not share it with everybody, but I hope they'll write in as you know, without holding yourself back when you write. Maybe hold yourself back when you share, if you don't feel like you could be comfortable around the people you're sharing it with. But go as deep as you can with that writing.
Can I ask a question? Let's think about one of the most erotic writers that we know, right?
Okay.
Jane, right?
My girl.
Do you think that she cares about someone crossing the line? Or do you think that she's well aware of what she is doing and it is generating more traction for her? And she doesn't entertain it. After all, I heard a writer say this. She said, me being an author or a writer or a poet is what I do. It's my career. Mm-hmm. Don't get it twisted. It's not who I am. So don't roll up on me thinking that it's an invitation because this is just what I do. And those are the boundaries that you have to set with people.
Yeah.
Just because I write a lot of poetry, it is not an invitation for you to come to me and say, oh, can you do some of that stuff? No.
Right.
Because I say to him quick, I say, how about you ask my wife that question? Hold on, let me get it for you. Let me get it for you. So you can ask her that question.
Absolutely.
Right?
So I agree.
You have to set the tone. If you're going to write erotic, write it. Just make sure you set the tone with the individuals who becomes your audience.
That's a good idea.
You're right. And you know, I agree with that. If you set that tone, I should have done that from the start, but I was so excited. I didn't have a voice until the epiphany, okay? And I got excited. After the nervousness left me, because I couldn't even fathom being where I'm at, being a host on a radio. Are you kidding me? Not little old me. But after, like I said, after the nervousness left me and I got really comfortable, I got excited then, and that's what I wanted to do. And I should have made that statement in the beginning because I had all kinds of nutcases coming at me. I didn't even know people in my neighborhood was listening. There's poets around here I didn't even know. Poets here in Philly I didn't even know were listening in. And then the inbox, I was ready to change my name and switch over to my other account. Not a lot of people know that I have another one. And because it was just getting really just out of control. And then I had folks coming on my public page saying, you know, some really disrespectful shit to me. And I'm like, yo, it's not like that. I'm talking about all kinds of men and women from different walks of life coming in my inbox. I'm like, nah, nope. My block party.
You know how I feel about blocking people, right? You got to be completely obnoxious for me to block. You got to be completely obnoxious for me to block you.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I want you to see and be a part of what's happening in my life rather than I block you. Now, if you're obnoxious, I'm cool with blocking you. But, you know, and you will develop a fan base and people who love you genuinely. And even though you're right, you know, because I write all genres of poetry, every now and again I might get someone who may request to hear one of the erotic pieces, right? And that's going to happen as you grow and as your fan base becomes larger, those nutcases, right, becomes your fans. And eventually they apologize for coming out either way they did, but they are truly a fan of your work and a fan of what you do. So so you just keep setting the tone and keep letting them, hey, look, yeah, I'm a poet. I write about everything, right? So make sure you're listening to everything and not just the pieces that tickle your fancy. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Yeah. But it had gotten to the point where I couldn't even open up my inbox because I was getting videos sent to me or certain, you know, and I'm serious, from men and women.
I'm petty. You want to send me videos? Okay, go ahead. I'm going to create an only page, a fans only page. I'm going to put them videos right on there. Think I won't.
Oh, God.
Think I won't. You bold enough to send to me? I'm bold enough to get paid. I'm bold enough to get paid from them. Okay?
Lord.
That's I don't know if that's legal there. You might need to look that up in your state, because I know in some states it is illegal. I don't know if everybody knew this, but in a lot of states it's illegal to share it. That's like, it's illegal to share that if somebody shared it with you. You could take a press charge or something. I don't know what state, you know, if in your state it's treated that way, but I know in New Jersey and New York, so careful with that idea. I don't want anybody in the airways. Check your local government before you go on this endeavor, because it sounds very good.
It may not be
good at a theory near you.
Well, thank you for that bit of information. But I have gone public on my page, and I have warned people, especially now I've got a lot of married men that come in my inbox that I have been friends with on Facebook for years. And they feel comfortable enough to express themselves a certain kind of way. And I let them know, I'm going to expose you. If you come in my inbox and you got somebody, I'm going to let the world know. So stop doing it. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they chilled out for a minute, but then they back. I got certain ones that they came back again. And I'm like, what are you doing here? Didn't I tell you about that shit? Okay. I'm not one of them women that want to jump on that broom and ride over there and have fun. It ain't like that. Okay?
Yeah.
Respect your relationship. Don't disrespect me because you're disrespecting your relationship by doing this. Don't do that. It ain't sweet like that over here. You know? So, but, yeah, my block game is, I'm a beast at it. Trust me. A lot of them I won't even... what's the name? It's like I can pick up on the vibe before I even open it. I can look in their eyes and be like, I don't like that picture. I don't like that picture. Block. Seriously, I won't even open it. You know? It's all good,
people,
though.
If I know what they on, they're not even going to get a red reply off of me. I'm just like, I understand that the idea is like, you know, I'm viewing things like, for one, two things. Like, I am the CEO of my life.
Absolutely.
And anybody that comes into my life, you are employed by my attention that I have to give you in order to maintain a relationship with you. So if that relationship is not symbiotic, if we are not benefiting from being associated with each other, you're going to get demoted. You're going to get let go. But anybody that's not, you're not employed, you're not in the organization, you're not benefiting the organization, I'm not going to give you that energy. The problem is when you got people on staff that you thought were just good employees, good friends, you talk to them all the time, and then all of a sudden they switch tack, and you like, I feel like some people, they just going to try to chin because they are who they are, and they have that kind of energy. And then you can be like, hey, that's nice. Thanks for the unsolicited image of certain things, but I appreciate it. But let's get back to our regularly scheduled program. So I feel like I know a lot of good people who, they're single, they're looking for someone, and they might just, that could be how they go about it. But it's like trying to find that balance between people having being a little bit too informal with you because of how it's all and how you entertain that energy. So for sure, balancing that is a whole thing
Absolutely.
To keep in mind as you go
forward.
Without
question.
Yeah.
There you go.
So I'm understand that. It's like if you don't give it back, if it's not reciprocal, eventually they're going to give up. They're going to keep putting the line out to you. But if you're not giving them the energy back, you know, especially if they're looking for someone that says something quick, you're going to go find what's quick. So I'm like, go ahead, get rid of that rubbish. In all the wrong places. I'm sorry. You remember that? I'm sorry.
No, just gonna...
I left in the wrong side of my brain. I'm very sorry.
It's all good.
So we got...
I'm not telling you, girl.
What's that?
You are funny as hell. I'm telling you. You are super, super funny. That's one thing I love about you. You are hilarious. I sit back sometimes, and I ain't going to stay on this, but I sit back sometimes, and my mind is always going. I just have learned how to organize my thoughts. But certain things that you have said have made me giggle. You're like crazy as hell.
That's what I was thinking. You're supposed to be over here being my pillow, and you over here keying on the phone.
I know, because I kept scooting over, and in his sleep, he scoots and scoots back. And so he feels my leg up against him or something. Like,
Oh, man. We done woke him up before we got a piece of some poetry out of you.
That's all right. I'll get one on for y'all. I can do it.
You can do it while you're in.
I don't know. He's all right. He's good.
Okay. Well, I feel like a good part of it. I think we're going to keep this going. I'm loving just the conversation that's going along with this, but showing people, you know, whether they're listening tonight or listening online or maybe listening to the replay, just the poetic side of the poets they're talking about. I would love for you to give them their just desserts from you on that part. So if you got a minute, when you're ready, the mic is all yours, my love.
All right. Thank you. This was inspired by a certain thing that took place, I think it was last night. I get lost with time sometimes, but it's untitled. But Mr. Meadows came up with the prompt for it. Okay. Hold on, you guys. Okay. Trying to get started. All right. All right. From the bottom of my cracked heart speak parts of my told and untold story, in every piece of it fallen. But you can't see them because my wide, bright smile, because of my wide, bright smile that I hide them behind, which has been mostly genuine, but I've learned to master displaying it for covering pain over time. And I never expect you to look for or learn where and when the breaking of it began, but the fear of you recognizing it now keeps me witty and somewhat distant. And this ain't no pick-me or pity party, just the transparency of the truth in my soul. I'm a big girl now, so please don't try to coddle me. I'll only back away. It doesn't mean my heart is cold, because my sensitivity level is always through the roof. I'm still just somewhat afraid. But please don't get me wrong. I'm in love with being in love. As odd as it may seem, it's just caution's wall doing its job at continuously protecting me. And yes, I want my people around me that love and care for me genuinely. Reminders that it's safe to constantly give of my best and keep moving forward. But my pieces falling from the bottom of my cracked heart force me to tread lightly when it comes to love because they still cover the floor. That's that piece.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I love that piece. I loved it when I read it. I love hearing it. I didn't know we were doing the cracked heart pieces because, you know, I would have did that when I was pulling. I was going to do that one, but.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. And, you know, I feel like with pieces of heartbreak that you bring, it's always like there's this understanding of how you are going about the process of healing. Like, yeah, this is what happens. Mm-hmm. This is how it affects me. This is what I learned from it. But, you know, I'm still in the process of cleaning up those broken pieces, and that is something that you're always honest and vulnerable about that you bring to your pieces that I love so much. And this one, it just has so much brilliant imagery to it that I'm just, like, imagining those pieces still laying there on the floor by the end.
Right.
And it's like, you know, you're still around trying to find those pieces yourself, and it's just so much that comes to my mind as I'm listening. It evokes so much emotion. That's a very beautiful piece. And, you know, it was inspired by Epiphany's own Paul Cram. Again, if you're listening, yeah, Paul Cram, I would remind you to keep your head up, and you are inspiring because you are inspiring. And I hope that you always keep your head up and understand that there is purpose behind everything that you're doing and everything that you go through. And, you know, when everyone understands there's purpose behind it, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. Sounds like Little Man wanted to have something to say.
He is, like, coming out of...
I'm sorry, say again.
No, I'm talking about the baby. He's in and out of sleep. He looks up at me and he takes and pushes my face over to him, like, stop looking over there, baby.
Hmm. Oh. Let me give you a second to tend to him. And while you do, I would love, before we get to the callers, we have a few in queue, but I know everyone has missed being able to have the time to take the mic. I'm even enjoying your honeymoon phase, and we totally understand it. But while we have you, we are greedy for some of that wonderful poetic poetry. So I'm going to take the mic and say, let's listen to the piece that you wrote, to the prompt, the bottom of my cracked heart, I believe was the verbiage, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. All right, so this was Van's piece. So when you're ready, Van, the mic is yours.
Thank you. From the bottom of my cracked heart, there lies a pool of broken dreams and promises completely ripped apart. As the darts of heartbreak reach the surface, the blood creates something uniquely opened in this space. The void of pain ushers in the power of resurrection and healing, changing hurt into hope as I begin unfolding this new level of bloodthirst hunger, not to feed on my carnivorous nature, but to provide a mantle of stature for others with shattered, broken, cracked hearts to visualize that the souls of the ancestors that came before us climbed many mountains and traveled through many valleys because it was a must, that they traveled naked and barefooted, with cracked hearts of pain planted and uprooted again and again, with little to nothing to gain, holding on to a blemish of hope that their struggle would not be in vain. Nope, not even in the ocean that was supposed to swallow them whole could use the fear of its depth to keep them from their goal. Surviving with cracked hearts so you and I could carry the torch and light the pathways for others to see how strong and see our why when it comes to just how the lineage in our bloodline had to have cracked hearts to emerge so that drops of blood could fall upon our foreheads and plant itself into our cracked hearts so we no longer bleed pain, hurt, heartache, heartbreak, nor hell. Instead, we grow to love and life so we can tell those coming after us just how special they are, even those from near or far. And that's that piece.
Yo. It's like you said, the spirit is a whole different animal. That is a very, very powerful piece, man.
Okay.
Wow.
Thank you. Shout out to Paul Cram, brother. His words inspired that piece, inspired the prompt. So,
yes, indeed.
You just never know. You never know the effects of your words. You never know the effects of something that you're going through and how it impacts others and can create a whole movement just from your place of distraught.
Yes. Yes. Oh, that is so much perspective. Because it's like you imagine as you were reading it, these generations of strong people going through struggles, and I'm sure in the time that they were going through it, they probably feel like we did, like, this is too hard, or I want to give up, or it's not, you know, it's not worth it, it's not working out for me, and those doubts and those things, I'm sure they did, but their perseverance paved the way for us without us even being a, as the old folks say, a twinkle in their eye. There is a future twinkle in each of our eyes that will benefit from our perseverance. And you brought that so clearly to that piece. You need to put a little inspirational track behind that. Throw that on Twitter to go viral real quick. Well, not Twitter, but like TikTok or something. This needs to be put out there because it's important to understand. It's not just about us. And it's not just about us in a difficult, downtrodden way. It's not just about us in mean. We persist. And what persists grows. And what grows, we don't yet see. I read something that was saying, I heard it. And it said, the world is great when men plant trees the likes that they will never know shade. You know? And it's like the idea that ignorance is perfect. And from where you stand, you make an impact. And even though it feels like when your feet are bare and you're cold and you're going through the trudges of making a new trail, blazing a trail, it doesn't feel like that. It feels like a struggle, but it means so much to the people that's going to come behind you.
Right. Ooh, and you know, and as I was penning this piece, I was just thinking, what if one of my ancestors in my bloodline decided to give up? I wouldn't be here. And that's for everybody.
Yes.
That's something to think about. If your ancestor gave up, you would not be here.
Mm-hmm. Sure. All right. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. That's definitely very, very powerful. That's so profound. And that is something to think about. What if the line that I came from stopped where they gave up?
Mm-hmm.
I listen for long before.
That is.
Just look at things different, you know, to be appreciative of where I am. You have to appreciate where you came from.
Absolutely.
And it goes far beyond just where you grew up. You have to go deeper.
Oh yeah.
You do. And I think too often the generation gap, they feel like when you say that to younger kids, it's almost like, oh, we did this so y'all could get this. And it's like, they don't accept that. They say, I didn't ask you to do it for me. But to make them think about that, like, no, this was a gift to you before I knew you. And it is meant to benefit you. It is a blessing to you. You know? And it's like, if you gave it to them that way, it might be a little bit more palatable. And the way that you presented it, it's almost like it's an honor to know that your feet ain't got to walk. Whatever you're going through, your feet ain't there. You know?
Right.
Your feet ain't there. There's someplace warm. There's someone that cares. There's someone that even if you, most people, a lot of people that I know, that I've talked to, recently homeless. It's like they feel too ashamed. It's not that they don't have people. It's that they feel too ashamed to go back to the people. You know? So it's like,
wow,
look at it for what it is and the power and where you stand, the power of your perspective from where you stand. That is what I can take from that. There is power in where your feet are planted, no matter where they are. That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yes.
All right, we're getting a firm in the way from y'all. Okay.
I'm sorry, but, like, you listen to it, and it make you, it really make you think. I've been on this trip right now where it's, like, trying to learn to appreciate life. Because I've been through some emotions, and I was stuck on the anger and the resentment for a while. But after that, come out of that is appreciation. It really
Absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely.
I'm learning to appreciate things and conversations and things like that. And there they go. So many things to grow from them. But, yeah, thank you. I love that. I love that poem from both of you guys. And I love the prompt and where you took it. And it's both showing, it, the both of them are showing, like, you know, what you can do with what is broken.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
I wrote one, too. It's short. Can I share that one real quick with y'all? Do you mind?
Absolutely.
Okay. It's called, okay, this poem is called Kintsugi. And as I was telling you guys, Kintsugi, I ran across it, and it is this art, ancient Japanese art, where they take broken pottery and they put it back together with gold. And it's like the beauty is in the mending. It puts it into perspective, the beauty of mending, by highlighting it in gold. But there is beauty in mending. So that's the name of this piece, Kintsugi. The artist chooses the finest porcelain and examines it from varied perspectives. A detective in his inspection of the perfection that is his selection, this specimen, so delicate, snowflake-like, intricately, innocently, instinctually, a one-of-a-kind masterpiece, he thinks. He breathes in awe of his luck, well, that was until the hammer struck. But the artist views the chaos of the pieces as a master does mystery, as one with apophenia picturing the beauty in broken things, the beginning of an ending. He sews my broken heart, closes the holes. He gilds my greatness together with golden. He mends my soul with an artist's hand. And the tenderness that only an artist can said, I see you're broken and I name you healed. So though it all seems doomed from this time that feels that I'm falling apart, I've come so far from where I started. And though this part might feel the hardest, I'm a work in progress of a thoughtful artist. I'm the working clay of a work of art from the top of my head to the bottom of my beautifully broken heart. That's what I came up with. So, yeah.
I go back to that picture that you posted.
Yeah.
The, like you said, the beauty is in the mending and the broken, the cracks, the broken pieces that are being put back together. That's where the beauty is at. And then lining it in the gold, let's all take over for the Buffy.
Oh, it's okay.
You know, this piece is beautiful. This piece is definitely beautiful. I often like to look at things too, and I'm thinking about what they used to put those broken pieces back together and how special and how intricate each element, each molecule, each drop to put it back together.
Absolutely. And it's like,
and just how special, just how special that liquid is.
Mm-hmm.
And then once it's cooled, and then it oh man, listen, yeah, don't get me started, man. Don't get me started.
Like it binds it, and then if you take that and transmute it to the idea of your broken heart, and how, look at how life has a tendency to break us apart. But it is like once you realize, okay,
yeah,
I'm broken, I'm in all of these pieces, but, you know, whatever
right.
your religious belief is, you would be greatly beneficial from finding a relationship with a higher power. But understanding that that higher power in tandem with your efforts, and you're looking at it from saying that, yeah, I got what it takes to put this all back together in a beautiful way. I'm the artist,
that's
and
right.
me and God and hand
that's
to
right.
hand are working together to turn, you know, these beautiful broken pieces into something even more beautiful, and you accentuating where you've been broken and golden by speaking about it. You know what I'm saying?
Indeed.
The brilliance of the
indeed.
Broken. Yeah. So I love that art. I've always been drawn to it, but I love art in a weird way anyway. I don't have any formal background in it, but it's just certain things that I feel in the way people present art. You know what I mean? Like it evokes
right.
an
right.
emotion. Good art does. Like fun, it's fun to listen to, and it's catchy to listen to the rhyme, but if you get to me, I feel like when my heart gets too caught up in the rhymes game, sometimes it don't touch the heart the same way as something that, like, you know, is thoroughly honest, even if it rhymes, it's a thoroughly honest thing.
Yeah.
Like even in artwork, you know when somebody is trying to recreate something they saw that's popular versus somebody that took these colors and put that on that, and it meant something, and you can feel it from what they produce.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So
absolutely.
I love art in that way, from all different perspectives, all different types of art. So speaking of which, I think we can, it looks like some hands are raised and some of our other friends would like to join myself. The great poetic, a.k.a. Van Meadows, La Perla Negra, on standby as the baby in chief needs some attention at the moment, but she says she's rocking out with us, so she'll be here
I'm
to
here.
Share
I'm
in
here.
What you bring. Okay. All right. Okay, no pressure. I know, you know, you have a boss, and that boss gets first dibs on your time, and we are... We are peripheral. Thank you for sharing your night with us. All right. We're going to open up this next night from our favorite Canadian, Lady A, has decided to join us. Welcome to the Juke Joint, Lady A. How are you doing
nice
tonight?
Nice to be here. How are you?
We are doing.
Hey, Lady A.
How's everybody doing?
Oh,
good.
Yeah, how are you?
Well, I just got back from a murder mystery dinner party.
Nice.
Oh,
a dinner
ooh.
Party. That sounds fun.
That sounds fun.
It was really fun. It was done in the Roaring Twenties style, and we all had our costumes of the flapper girls, and it was a lot of fun.
Oh, my God. That sounds amazing.
So
yeah, it really is. It's a whole game. Everybody's assigned a character, and they have to solve a murder over the dinner party. So it was a lot of fun.
Oh.
So who did it?
Oh,
who was the whodunit?
So, pardon me?
I said, who done it? Who did it?
It ended up being me. I was the murderer.
Oh, what? Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah, it was
okay.
a lot of fun.
How was your poker face? How long did it take them to catch on to you?
The whole entire evening. Because you go through this whole process, and then at the end, everybody goes around and says who they think the murderer is. And there was one girl that got the guilty acts crashed down on her, and she had nothing to do with it. So, but each character has like motives for the murder. So it made it a lot of fun. It was a great experience. I'd never been to one before, so it was a first for me. So it was really a lot of fun.
That's wonderful. You got to get out there and try some new things that are going to be memorable, because, you know, that's a beautiful thing. I would love to try that. That sounds amazing.
You can buy the games. I forget the name of the title of it, but you can buy those games, and they have all different scenarios, and you pretty much take on the persona of the person that you've been assigned as your character. So, and that was fun too, because you get to do a little bit of acting, and I fooled them all.
Oh, man. Oh, well, that sounds great. That is good to hear. Oh, maybe we should talk to Hav about bringing something like that to one of the game nights and dress up and do it in one of the weekends or whatever. That would be so much fun.
Oh, yeah, it really is. And if you get a group of people that are not too shy, because, you know, you have to be able to put yourself out there a little bit. I had a blast. It was really fun.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, real quick, before we go forward, I do want to let anyone listening online know you have a minute left to give us a call, 319-527-6300. We enter the 11 o'clock hour to Overtime Blog Talk Lady. Real disrespectful. Not going to let you in. If you want to join us, get on in here. Back to you, lady. So, that's beautiful, and I'm glad you enjoyed your night. I hope you've enjoyed the conversation that we've been having so far. And
I didn't catch the top of the show, but I've been listening for a little while now, and it's quite interesting.
Thank you.
Conversations are always great, I find, and incorporating them in the poetry thing, I think, is a great thing.
Yeah, the question that the conversation sprang from was, how do you keep your poetic perspective, like in attempting to balance your personal and private life, how do you keep your poetic perspective?
Oh, jeepers. Well, most of my writing I have different genres, but, I mean, a lot of my writing just comes from my own personal life, so I don't know that there's really a separation. It's a form of expression for me, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. I think most poets write from their own personal experiences and feelings and emotions. So I guess that's kind of where I am with it for sure.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's a good way to look at it. Like, it's a natural form of getting it out. I think that was mentioned as the conversation has been going around, that, like, if you make it a natural part, sounds like the three of you do, is you make it a natural part of your life, so it never feels like this separation that needs to be acknowledged. It's just another one of those things that you naturally do. That's a beautiful thing. I think that's the best.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, for
absolutely.
Sure. Thank you for that, Lady A. I appreciate that perspective. So I'm not sure how long before we'll be able to go out of here if I scheduled it right, but hopefully we have a bit of time. If we don't, I would love, before the night goes forward, to hear a little bit of your poetry and hopefully keep your mic open as the night goes forward, if that would be okay. We have another caller to get back to you.
I'm pretty sure I've read this before, maybe quite a long time ago, but you'll have to forgive me. I'm a little bit restless tonight, so I'm jumping up and down all over the place. But I like to write dark poetry sometimes, too. And with Halloween coming up soon, I've picked this one, which is one of my favorite darker poems, and it's called The Finale.
Okay.
So, if I may.
The mic is all yours.
Thanks. Upon the mountain stood a curious bastion, a castle with massive portholes of ancient fashion. Betwixt two was an image of an eye, a winker. Lit from behind, it cast a silhouette, a fearsome creeper. hypnotized, the people in the valley made a pilgrimage, obedient, mindless. They climbed the mountain to the image, paralyzed with fear, yet not resistive, blindly following one after another, submissive. Entering the citadel, the sheeple were met by the Grim Reaper. Robed in hooded black, he was the bastion keeper. A carpet of bones of the human sort covered the floor. They crunched and broke, a sound they could not ignore. Awakened in the horror, the pilgrims realized their fate. They had stepped into hell through the Reaper's Gate. The screams could be heard as far away as the valley, and death was welcome now. This was their finale and poem.
It was quite a good Halloween.
Ghoulish.
It reminds me of I can't remember his name right now, and I should know it. The one that it was like a poem with the Thriller. What's his name?
Oh, yes.
Vincent Price.
Vincent Price,
oh, Vincent,
yes.
Price. Yeah.
Oh,
that,
yes,
Yeah, like if you were a little bit more of a haunting, because you have a very sweet voice. I'm sorry, Lady I. Lady A, your poetry is very, it's given Edgar Allan Poe, but you have a very, a sweet and gingerly voice that
I'll have to get my creep on a little heavier.
Yeah. But like some haunted music behind that and play that when the little kids come by your door. I would love it. I would play that at my door when the little kids come by. Maybe they'd leave me some candy because I swear I survived the rest of the season with the excuse what is left is mine.
Oh, okay.
No, but I definitely love that piece, and I love the that haunting element of it and the imagery that you brought to it. It is very dark, but it is the cadence
it's
that you brought to it.
It's fun sometimes to tap into that part of yourself to kind of be spooky.
It is.
And
I absolutely agree.
Fun. Yeah.
I agree.
Thank you.
I'm a diehard Poe fan, so I totally, Edgar Allan Poe, always loved him.
Yeah.
Exact reason. Because I feel like that, growing up, there was not a lot of spaces where you could discuss, those dark emotions, that resentment, that fear, that paranoia that comes from fear, like the telltale heart. I love that. I think about that so much.
I like telltale heart too. Yeah,
the way your sins could be loudly glaring behind you. No one else can hear it, but it's just that loud in your mind because that is what you're suffering from. And there's a lot of times we might actually experience that and you don't really think that anyone else can relate to it. So yeah, so like sharing your dark poetry is a beautiful thing. And that haunting way that it connects to Halloween and notions behind it makes it something that can be, it doesn't have to be tucked away and just stuck in the corner. It's just for dark poetry. It is a Halloween poem. It's a great Halloween poem.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
It's a great, great, great piece, Lady A.
Thank you.
I like dark poetry. I try not to write in that space because I feel like if I wrote in that space, people would be very afraid of how dark my mind really is.
Pushes you to write stuff like that because you can see that part of yourself that is dark because we all have it in us.
Yeah. I mean, if y'all have my third book, you catch a glimpse of it, and there's a poem in there that's dark. But this piece, Lady A, is I love it because I enjoy dark poetry because I just enjoy seeing how far your mind can truly go when you're writing that depth, right? Because I grew up watching horror movies. I love horror movies. Like there is only one horror movie ever that has ever terrified me to the point where I don't even want to watch it as an adult, and I won't watch it. And that's My Bloody Valentine, the original one. I was terrified by that movie as a kid. So, but this piece, Mahavi Soul is right. The Vincent Price type, the music behind it, you know, I would so play this as kids were walking up to my door, you know, for candy, you know, with music and all the prompts. Oh man, this would be phenomenal.
Listen,
thank you so much.
And sell it to Hallmark. I'm telling you, it's worthy. It is.
Wow, Danielle, thank you.
You're welcome, Danielle. We'd love to hear your perspective with her. Let me first, if you.
I'm trying to keep this little guy quiet. I don't know what it. There he goes. He's fully awake now.
Oh no, he's up. He said the night party has started. You may as well tuck in and be prepared for those six of the whistle.
He said long. Sleep that long. I don't know what he wants right now. What? What do you want? You want to say something? You don't want nothing. I love it. It's ghoulish. I am also a fan of dark poetry. And I have been watching horror movies since as far back as I can remember. See how you go as soon as I start talking?
He said, talk to me.
My
only friend you need.
The movie that scared me really, really bad was The Exorcist. And my mom had actually just moved me into my own room. I grew up in an extremely large house because there's a lot of us. It was like 10 bedrooms and even an attic. Oh. And she had moved me into my own room. My brothers still had their room together, but I had my own little TV and everything. And I'm laying up there watching this. I think I was about 7. I don't know. I know I was really young. I was really, really, really young. And as much as I love the horror movies, I would, like, roll off the bed instead of getting out of the bed and walk across the floor to get out the room. I would roll off of my bed in my blanket and roll all the way over to the door and get up and haul it out the room. go to the bathroom, and I ran straight down the hallway to my mom, and I just jumped in her bed, and she was like, "What's the matter? That little girl, there's a monster in her." I didn't understand everything that was going on, but I liked being scared back then.
Wow.
I still do, but they don't make no real good scary movies anymore. Now it's so predictable and just like, I don't do zombies. They do nothing for me. Okay.
Yeah.
Wait,
nothing at all.
Did you
I don't know.
The last
they have a
scary
new
movie
coming out.
I can't
hear
you.
The Exorcist,
they're
making another one?
Yeah,
they
made
are.
A second
yes.
one.
It came out today, right?
What?
I don't remember, but I know it has to do with three girls this time. I think it's called Exorcist Belief or something like that, or Faith, something like that, but I absolutely want to
catch it. Exorcist Believers or Believe or something like that? Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Thank you.
I saw The Exorcist when I was probably 18. With some friends of mine. We went to the movie theater to see it. And I was so scared that I came home. I slept with my light on. I slept with the rosaries around my neck because we were brought up Catholic. I left the church, but just the same at that time, I was Catholic.
Yeah.
I had a rosary, I had a Bible under my pillow. I was terrified by that movie. I can't even watch the ads that come on to announce, like, to promote the movies like that.
Yeah.
I don't watch scary movies that have to do with the devil and
the
Satan
demonic
and possession and
yeah.
all that.
All that demonic stuff. I don't, it feels too, but I'll tell you two things. The movie that did that for me, Exorcist I watched with a bunch of, like, you know, rambunctious kids, so we were making fun of it. We didn't give ourselves a chance to get scared of it. But
oh, wow.
The movie that where I grew up, we saw scarier in real life. Sorry. But but like the movie that did that for me was Insidious. Something about that movie and the fact that that is a real story, like it was based on a real person. I don't know, something about that movie. I used to enjoy scary movies, but after I saw that movie, I was so shook that I just like, it just put something settled around me that I did not like in my energy field. And I was like, no, you can have all that. I'm not doing that. But when it comes to things like Edgar Allan Poe, I read, when it comes to dark things, like, you know, I read The Bell Jar at, at a bad time. But, like, just saying that there's things that are hard to just bring up in regular social conversation that I can honestly say that I gravitated to at periods of my life when I needed it. So I'm like, yeah, then. That part of yourself that you're saying you think somebody will worry about, there is somebody out there wondering, am I crazy? Am I the only one? And if they hear you write about it and bring it with as much of that, you know, understanding of yourself that you learned since you might have left that darker space, or that understanding of how you have mastered that dark space, I would love to read it. And I'm sure that it's a beautiful space for it to see a man that is functional, a healthy black man and a healthy relationship, your healthy relationship with God, your healthy relationship with your children, healthy relationship with these things. And I still go through this. This is still something I deal with. There's someone out there that's waiting to hear that. And it's someone that's doing the poetry, waiting to hear that, waiting to feel that, you know? That's how I think about things when I have
to write. Okay, I'm going to be writing tomorrow. Just because you said
there
that,
you
I'm going to write tomorrow. You're going to experience my dark side. You give
us. Good.
You give
us the side we haven't seen of you. So, yes, give it to us.
Yes.
Little boy.
Yes. Do you know how much understanding I garnered from reading Men Cry in the Dark? I might have been too young to read the topic, but just to hear someone else's honest perspective from their perspective gave me a better understanding of those situations I didn't have. You know what I mean? And that's the word to speaking up for. Even if you think, just like you said, speaking up when it comes to the erotic poetry can lead to those, you know, those scavengers just around to pick off and pick at things. It leaves room for them, but it leaves more room for the people that's waiting to hear someone say, you know what, I feel that way. I know this is where I can relate to what Danielle has written in the erotic arena. Well, I know I have at least been inspired thoroughly by some of it.
Right,
so
right.
So the idea, like, never closing yourself off to any particular subject from any of the blowback that comes out from it. And you, Lady A, with those darker pieces that it seemed like you might, I know when it comes to certain things, people are so anesthetized by this world that I find there's more poets listening to poetry than people who don't write. I've been going to a lot of live events and going to live paid events, and it's poets paying to hear poets because they understand what can be garnered from that understanding. But I feel like when it comes to bringing that to common spaces, it's like they're not really – like, I'm just trying to keep on the happy state so that I can trudge through. We're all still in PTSD from that pandemic. I don't know when we ever going to address it, but going through something like that and everything else that's going on is a lot. So I think a lot of people don't want to go down that rabbit hole with their own mind and emotion that some things can bring about, but you're not writing it from them. You're writing it for the people that's looking for it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Well, we're getting a little bit late, and I know our beautiful Gina Storm decided to join us before the hour changed over. I love the organicness of this conversation. I would love to bring her in and get her perspective, a little poetry, and then we can keep the conversation going.
Please do.
Okay.
All right. So, Gina Storm, thank you so much for joining us in the Juke Joint tonight. How are you doing, sweetheart?
Oh, my God. There was a Sky Vision Juke Joint memory that popped up on my Facebook today to remind me that me and King Cadence and Desire had a show called the Juke Joint, and you had to have a Juke Joint name to be your admission into the queue. And I was like, oh, Juke Joint, let's go.
Yes. You know what it came from? The idea is like we say, going those different sides, I'm definitely drawn to, ultimately, I like it to grow into a space where it's like more of like, it's going to grow into something a little bit different, but The Color Purple, my favorite movie, Suge Avery's Juke Joint. I've always loved that.
Yes.
I've always loved to see a face like that.
You said this me in yours.
Also, hey, Gina. I'm not sure if you guys, I know you guys, oh, I'm sorry, Gina, Van Meadows is co-hosting, Danielle is Fly-by night co-hosting at this point because she didn't ask to, but we thank her because she loves that.
Love for
and Lady A is also.
Lady A, is
also
hey y'all.
Yes.
Hey.
Yes. But yes, so we're having a little bit of a conversation and seeing where it goes. But the base question that we started from is, how do you keep your poetic perspective when it comes to balancing your real life versus your poetic life and keeping your poetic passionate when life be life? Did we lose you, Jada?
Oh, no, I'm here. I actually took a deep breath and exhaled. I need y'all to understand that life been lifing for me for the last 2 days. And when you say, let me make sure I got it clear, poetic perception and what else?
Your poetic perspective and your balance between real life.
Okay.
And,
so
you know,
my
passion.
Poetic perspective and my real life are one and the same.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every day of the week. Mm-hmm. Now, my family does not recognize Gina Storm. Like, my mom is the president of my fan club. Took her about 3-4 years after I became Gina Storm to even recognize her existence. Mm-hmm. So in my real life, did nothing matter until my mother said, wow, I see you, G. I said, thank you, Mommy. And that's when it became real for me. But everything prior to that, practice. This is the show. It's not the rehearsal. So everything that I do it in real time and in real life with every facet of me. And Gina Storm is just one facet. Let's say, so if I'm a diamond, right? Mm-hmm. And you know that diamonds sometimes are fractured or sometimes they're flawless, but sometimes they're not. So I'm a flawless diamond. I'm the diamond that you probably wouldn't first time when you see her pick her, and that's okay with me because the reality is the people that look deeper don't see the flaws. They just see that I'm a diamond. And that's enough for me. So my real life perspective when it comes to my poetry and who I actually am are one and the same. You might see flaws. You know what I see? Imperfections. You know what those imperfections let me know? That God is still working on me. And I'm okay with that.
Absolutely.
So I'll be flawed. Let's go.
That is what we call a bit of the Gina Storm key style wisdom, because she haven't given us, I haven't heard one yet, key styles in a little bit, but that wisdom came out like a little
key style
poem.
I gotta do a freestyle. I didn't even pull nothing up. I was just listening. I was so enamored that I couldn't even find a piece to spit. So this would be straight off the dome.
Okay. We also brought up, and it ties into what you were saying, that prompt that Paul Cram put out. Did you see it? The broken pieces of your heart, or the bottom of my cracked heart.
Look, my heart is so fragmented. I wish I would start, but no, I'm just gonna pause here and say, I'm gonna dig everything he was putting down.
Yeah. Well, we can't wait to hear what you brought with us for sure. When you're ready, the mic is all yours, James Stone.
I'm ever here, no pressure. This is family. This is what I got for y'all. I titled this piece Big Jerry. So, in my family, the positions vary. There's firstborn, there's junior, there's the baby, and all points in between. In my legacy, it was mommy, daddy, me. My middle brother was junior, and the baby was just that, the baby. In the Robinson family, however, there was Tanya, she and I, 6 months apart to the day. I'm talking about December 23rd to June 23rd. I don't even know if you're listening, but I need you to hear that she and I were literally 6 months apart. Her mother was my mother's best friend, and my father's best friend was Big Jerry. I need you to understand. I'm okay. But today, I love Big Jerry. He's the best person that I ever knew in my life. And that emotion will not vary. See, he was one of the good guys. Like, when I would see people in real time, they would send their representative, and he never did. He was authentic all the time, and I understood. See, his wife had a big mouth like me, and she loved to speak, to be seen, and to take pictures, and she would be peopling. I, however, became an introvert and haven't been peopling as well as I used to. But she's still, in my opinion, the best substitute. If I did not have a mom, it would be her. My mother used to say all the time, she feels like underwear are optional. Now, I'm not saying that we be out here going commando wearing no bras, but I just need y'all to know us. Big Jerry thought that all of that was sexy. It never stopped. He never judged her. He never tried to dim her light. He never tried to stifle her or use his authority as the head of the family to diminish the woman that she was destined to be. And in my life, I wanted a husband like him. See, the thing that I had never had previously was a man like him. All I could see was the examples that were given to me. I'm talking about in real time, in my home, like when my father was talking recklessly to my mom. That made me feel some type of way. And she said that she wasn't going anywhere because he was in this to the end. And I thought that we could have divorced him when I was like, as far as I was concerned, he could still be my father and pay you child support and alimony, but we need to be out. That wasn't my call. All I could do was stay in a child's place and be silent. When this cat died this evening, it was one of the guys who told me that real men did exist. It wasn't a myth. He never gave in to the temptations of life or other women. He didn't pick up alcohol or drugs when he could have. He lost a job and moved on to the next and didn't take a breath in between. And I salute that. My father fell into a deep depression. I didn't understand mental health when it comes to men, even at that point. I felt like he was being a crybaby at the end to get his shit together and fuck up. I had a conversation with Big Jerry, and he told me that the role that your father has is scary. And when your responsibility exceeds the person that you might be, you have a wife and children that you also have to be a role model and support to you. Now all I could think was a heavy of shoulders. that carry that load. And heavy is the head that wears that crown. Because he was a king, and I didn't even know that one in my life could actually exist. Because in my heart and mind, my father was superhuman. He was Superman wearing capes under the clothes in which he was dressed. Sometimes it would be pajamas because he was so depressed he couldn't get dressed. But that didn't happen with Big Jerry. No, he just moved on. Sometimes the relationships in your life vary. See, my father used to be jealous of my relationship with my grandfather, which was his dad. And all the things that I did with him, he wished that we had. That wasn't my relationship. It was ours. You can't be mad at your daddy because he stepped up in a place where you had fallen off, and I wasn't mad at my dad at the time. Then he passed away. So did my grandfather, several other uncles along the way, some cousins who meant the world to me. And I was just left with Big Jerry. And Big Jerry raised the bar so high that Jerry Robinson Sr. was the bar. So even though he's long and his body is empty because his soul has moved on, I'm not hurt. I'm not even upset. I've been crying all evening since I found out that he passed. What I can hold on to is the example that he gave me. Because some of you don't have a real man in your life and you don't even know what that looks like, but I do. So good man exists. I am proof of it. James Storm wouldn't even be able to spit this piece if my Uncle Jerry hadn't encouraged me to do this in peace.
I'm so sorry for your loss, Gina. Had to give that a minute to breathe, but and give you a minute to breathe. Just take a moment of silence for Big Jerry.
Thank you, sis, because I feel like my Uncle Jerry, because I always called him Uncle Jerry, and he was Big mm-hmm. Jerry because Little Jerry was, you know, Jerry Jr., and my brother is Larry Jr., mm-hmm. and whenever I wanted to piss him off, I would call him Jr.
Oh, God.
I'm that bad. I was like, yeah, right now, kind of, a little bit, you know, yeah, okay, Jr., whatever. But
oh.
It doesn't have to be derogatory. Sometimes right. It's one of those things that makes the junior feel like he has a bar that he needs to achieve. I feel like
yeah.
my cousin Jerry is doing just that, exemplary. Mm-hmm. And I feel really bad because I found out that his baby sister was on a flight home
mm-hmm.
from down south to Chicago to be here because she knew her father was about to pass away. And then she mm-hmm. found out through a text message from him because he didn't know that she didn't know. That kind of hurt me, but it's okay because I have to be one of those people that I tell you all the time. I text like a teenager, but sometimes two things in life for me are too big to share in simply a text message, and that is a birth and a death. So if you want to tell me you're pregnant, call me. And if someone has passed away, don't text me. I need to hear you say the words so I can prepare myself for the impact. So all I can say is this. It's still fresh and it's raw and it's real. But the reality is it was the strength from that man right there that made it possible for me to be here tonight. And I appreciate y'all. One love, one life.
One love, one life. Appreciate you.
One love, one life.
Jenna, you stay there, right?
I couldn't hang up, man. I had to blow my nose. I don't know if you ever hear heard me sneeze or blow, but y'all did not need to be involved in that. I love you, but no. Not be recorded. Look at this screaming dude. Come on, man. I can't blow my nose on the mic.
Oh, it's
okay.
All right.
I appreciate you. Thank you. Yeah. You got little.
You got
an image to uphold.
Hold on, man. You done been on the phone with me before when I didn't call a nail, and she, you be like, oh my goodness, if she blows her nose, I'm gonna have to go.
Oh, God.
It's horrible. Y'all have no idea. It is not cute.
Oh, no, trust me, I know. I've been over here.
What I was going to ask you is if you can talk about what y'all got going on tomorrow, because I see y'all got something special happening at
the Ooh, MG, you know what? Just Jay would come through his phone and put me in a chokehold. So, ladies and gentlemen, and parts of the Epiphany Universe, if you're available tomorrow night at 8 Central, 9 Eastern, call into the same number that you came to the Juke Joint, 319-527-6300, blogtalk.com, and you can find the Just Jay and Gina Show, where we're going to have the one and the only AJ1 in the building. I'm going to be on my best behavior, have my emotions in check, and do what's my due diligence, because I'm a professional and I do that. So if you are available, I will be free. Just Jay will be with me, and we're going to have on AJ. Come join us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
That is going to be good. AJ is an amazing poet, so I will definitely be tuning in. Can't wait. I thought she was mid-cry. I didn't give her a chance to get into it. I was going to let the emotion go where it is, but... No, where would we be without Ben?
Well, see, sometimes you got to grab Gina,
look,
you got to
okay.
grab her.
Look, I had to blow my nose and get my snot together. Let's go. when the station manager says, what do you have going on tomorrow?
I'm
at work hat. Right. So it's the promo mode. I went into promo mode just like I wasn't crying. I swear to Jesus. I literally, legit, took a deep breath and was like,
sir.
Oh, here, look at here Van go.
Oh, God.
I love it here. Thank you, family, for real, for real. I would have forgot to promote myself. You heard me say one love on Mike. I'm thinking, that's the sign off. I got a show tomorrow. Look, let me get my life together.
I thought it was like, you know, a little bit of I've been thrown out of better places energy and just slammed the door in your way. I said, okay, all right.
Girl.
But and then also, you were emotional, and
time.
I just figured out.
You have no idea. I was about to go one love, one mic. I had roll up, lighted, smoking, and pass it to myself. I was like, oh, I'm about to get super duper high and go to sleep. You have no idea. It's Friday. I ain't got no job. Look, I ain't got nowhere to be tomorrow. Let's go. I do have the epiphany, however. So, let me get my life together. I love
you. You got plenty of time to recuperate, Gina. So we love it for you. And we love hearing from you. And we will definitely be tuning in tomorrow for the Just Jay and Gina Show. Same bat time, same bat channel. And, so one love and one mic.
Let's get it, family. Baby.
Like,
my
baby.
Socks are off.
Oh, yeah, the socks got to come off. It's that time. Okay. Ooh, tonight I feel like, I'm so thankful to you, Van, for joining us tonight, and La Perla Negra for coming through and, you know, winging it with us, even though your attention has been up. You know, you got somebody that loves you, and he want to be all up underneath you, you know. That's a good thing to have, so. We do appreciate you rocking with us. And it would not be a night with the station manager on the line without us, you know,
giving you a chance to let us know what you got going on, and then hopefully they can give us a quick run through of, you know, Epiphany Radio is going on. Okay. So, Danielle, do you guys have things lined up that you'd like to make us privy of?
Well, you can catch me on Monday nights on King and Queen's Quarter. I don't know what's coming up, but that's where you can catch me on Monday nights. Wednesday nights, I'm the host of, one of the hosts of Divas Talk. And I don't know what I'm coming up with, but I got something for y'all. I got something for y'all. You can catch me on both shows here on Epiphany, 9 p.m.
Absolutely. You want to come to Pearl and Negra, that's going to be Monday and Wednesday night. So we want to swing over to the Poetic for a station rundown. Great station, man.
Absolutely, absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, you just heard Gina Storm. Let's tune in tomorrow for the Just J. Gina Show, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 p.m. Central, Just J. and Gina Storm. Sunday night's going to be the Inspiration Factor with your host, Divine Inspiration, and Alonzo at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time instead of the 9 p.m. slot. Monday night, you just heard the Pearl of Negra, La Negra, her and King Atterbury in the King and Queen's Quarters at 9 p.m. And then Tuesday night, y'all, Tuesday night, ooh-wee, join Paul Cram and yours truly for Cram Sessions as he usher in a brand new poet that he will be highlighting, spotlighting, and then the Music Study Artist of the Month. Make sure you tune in. And then Wednesday night, Divas Talk with La Pearl and Negra and the divas around here in Epiphany Radio. Make sure y'all tune in. And then Thursday night, listen, it's been a minute.
Yeah.
It's been a few months. But
yeah.
The Get Down is returning with J. Rob, the Wise Son, and yours truly, Poetic, as we honor and celebrate hip-hop 50th anniversary. It's going to be lit. It's going to be live. We're going to be going through talking about some of your favorite hip-hop tracks. Hey, look, make sure you tune in. 9 p.m.
Come on.
And then, then next Friday, y'all, Renaissance Poetry, Keith Eric and Kimbrella Renee, a.k.a. the Hurricane. So make sure y'all tune in at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Listen, Epiphany got what you needed, got what you want. So you might as well just come on out and just hang out with us. Mahogany Soul, back to you.
All right. I'm just happy to hear that J-Rob, the Wise Son, has been fighting shape, and Poetic is out of honeymoon lockdown, and the fellas are back out there serving you the way only they can. It is a different experience. It's like the Epiphany Radio universe. It's like any other universe, planet. And you want to make sure that you're at each and every one of them for something different that's going to push your pen, inspire you, and, you know, give you a chance to learn about the people behind the shows and the mics. So that was definitely a good rundown, and I'm very excited for that. I'm happy for y'all. So again, I do want to make sure that I tell you thank you very much for sticking with me tonight. I have had such a great time. I've taken so many notes. Like I said, I'm a student of the universe. Every time I hear your voice, and I know that you are authentic people sharing parts of your authentic self, I received that as a part of my education. And I've been educated tonight. I don't know about y'all. How y'all feeling about that?
Oh, man.
I'm a student of everybody and everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. So, yeah, it's been a great night. We had some great poets. Shout out to Lady A. Shout out to Gina Storm for taking the time to join us tonight. I did see Ms. VIP. I do know you are in recovery, and we understand that. We appreciate you for being here, you know, with your ear. And, again, tune in tomorrow night. I'll be back here in 2 weeks on the Juke Joint.
and I'll see what I can cook up to you for that by that time. Look out for some promos, just the events that have come up, and tune in every night, same bat time, same bat channel, except for Sundays. Van Meadows and then Danielle, if you guys have any closing words that you'd like to say before we head out.
Like I always say, continue to get that good relationship going with yourself, because therein lies spirit. I'm getting beat up over here. I love y'all.
I would just add, thank you for having me, Mahogany Soul. This was amazing. Always wonderful to share the mic with you, La Perla Negra. And to our Epiphany family, listen, without you, there would be no Epiphany Radio. This is your network. Come through. Do what you do. You know, I'm going to say it till I'm blue in the face. Shout out to tonight's sponsor, Raw Links. Why be average when you can be raw? And our illustrious CEO, author Larry Maddox, a.k.a. For Real, the Poet Douglas. Keep my brother in your prayer. But, yeah, we'll see y'all tomorrow night. I can't wait.
Indeed. Thank you so much for that update. Again, you know, take your socks off. Keep your socks off. Play it safe. Tune in to Raw Link to see what he has available. It's always something wonderful. And, you know, drink water. Hug somebody. And enjoy the rest of your night. One love, one mic, guys.
One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
I just took my socks off at Epiphany Radio.